the operative word is old, because we just had a gathering and we spent a bunch of time going around the room talking about various ailments. And unfortunately, a few guys were with us.
Bond from the group there, too.
Hi, everybody. Here we are at Christmas time. I just went over to TNC and somebody's ringing the bell. And I was like, geez.
Salvation Army.
I know.
It's starting.
Yeah.
You can tell because the sun is setting and it's 4.
Right. Well, could you just go back on daylight savings?
Yeah.
I'm all for that. Yeah. Permanently. Mm-hmm.
Well, we got to maybe Ted. I haven't heard from Ted. I assume he's just delayed with traffic.
There was a pretty significant traffic accident that might have delayed me on. I guess it's not the way Ted comes,
yeah,
but
presumably he's coming
on Wyatt, you know, and really? Airbags deployed. And I thought at first it might have been a head-on, but I think one car might have spun around. But they were sitting there, and the airbags were deployed, and so I assume the people wandering around there in the little water that were okay.
On Wyatt, you say?
On Wyatt, you know, where not Buckland Hill, but the other hill coming out of a dip at the head of the bay.
Yeah.
Just coming up that hill.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous hill out there.
Yeah, not so far from your place.
My neighborhood, yeah. I just came through there.
Yeah.
How long ago?
It looked like I was probably on the scene 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
After it happened. So you did you just come?
No, I did another errand first before I got
it. So, after. Well, let's look at the agenda here, folks. We're going to touch base on a couple of things. Looking at it, Barry can give us the end, and Roger can give us the end of the budget, so we at least know that. And then we can pick it back up the comp plan. And Nancy sent out already her comments, and Steve is ready to regale us with whatever he has. And then we'll talk about the future, and we may be done in half an hour. We'll see. You may want to do anything else? Don't stretch it out. Okay. Approval of meeting notes. So they are attached. Nobody's seen it. Well,
okay.
It got sent out today. If you remember the last meeting, Roger left partway through and. So neither he did nor I did anything, and so I cobbled together some last night. Doesn't say much because we didn't do a lot. If you want to read it real quickly, then we can be done with it and adopt it.
So did Joe Levan, did he or did he not do the training on it?
He did.
Yeah. He did.
He provided. We spent an hour.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, just slightly.
We can get you some remedial if you need it.
Yeah, I need remedial. It'll be my court defense that day. I missed the brief.
I think
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Comment? Motion made and seconded to approve the notes. Say aye.
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 Okay. Passes. Thank you. Okay. Public comment. You're it, Robert.
I think there's a tremendous amount that is taking place at the city council, and I'm glad a city council member here. He'll probably thank you.
All right. Thank you. Did see your email today saying wanting to join the water quality monitoring program, so that was interesting. I'm sure a bit tongue-in-cheek.
Like somebody read it.
I wasn't sure if it was tongue-in-cheek. That sounds
like a whole lot of good ideas in
here.
There you go.
I think I will take a minute.
Oh,
shit. Poke the bear.
That's what I mean, since it hasn't appeared yet in this, and the city council notes from the ETAC committee, Cammy did make an amazing comment during, and Barry was there, so he can back this up. For years we've been saying that the city has been collecting water flow data and hasn't been doing anything with it, and Cammy agreed with that. Finally, she says, we don't do anything with it. So. And I think that's important.
When we all talked about, just I won't get into it.
Yeah.
When we talked about it, Jeff and I, we spent a bunch of time talking about it a couple of years ago, and and we reached a conclusion, not that they don't do anything to it, but they don't put it in a format that's available to the public so that people know what the results of all that are. So maybe the result end of all of this will be something that does make it more available, and perhaps not in the city manager's report every week like you suggested, but something. Anyhow, let's move on. Budget. What you guys passed a budget? We're done?
Council did it. I wasn't even there.
I can't believe you passed a budget in November. You didn't even drag it into December.
That's because we've got a compound to slog through.
What'd you do with the utility tax? How'd that end up?
Yeah, what are the end results here?
I can't remember where the dartboard was that day.
6%.
He's right. 6% on public and for-profit.
That's right.
So we end up.
On public and for-profit?
For-profit, water and sewer.
Is KPUD considered for-profit?
No,
it's a public. They're public.
Oh, public. Okay.
So it doesn't get you. It doesn't get you.
But we got KPUD. We got Sewer District 7. I don't think it gets Meadowmere.
No, it is a nonprofit.
And I think it doesn't get the Port Madison.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Right. That's also nonprofit.
Who does it get? Who is for profit besides the public?
There's Washington Water Service.
Washington Water.
They operate some. Yeah. They're not big, though.
They're small.
Yeah.
Well, they're small systems, but it's a larger corporation.
Yeah, it's a big corporation.
It's a big company, relatively, which has systems scattered all over Western Washington. They operate lots of systems.
And they have some on Bainbridge.
Yeah.
So how many more does this collect?
Mostly KPUD.
And the dollar. Ellen put together a really amazing tool I found, or helpful tool, maybe not amazing, but helpful tool about like jiggering the numbers and seeing how the implication on the cash flow. And we looked at that, but she, on this particular issue, she acknowledged that there was some projection because we haven't been gathering the data on private entities that are outside of the city's purview. Right. So we wouldn't even have reporting on that. So there's some. And then there was a lot of discussion too about separating rates and capital projects. And so we'll see what form it ultimately takes. Well,
Roger, I know on these kind of things you have to draw a line like the two-member water districts and things like that,
yeah,
or nonprofits. But so you got to draw a line there someplace. But that line, fairly large nonprofit water systems, and why are their customers not, contributing tax? And I'm sympathetic to the dilemmas the city council has solving all these things. But but it would have seemed to me that capturing, based on size rather than status, because it's possible that a for-profit or public water system is smaller than some of the nonprofit water systems.
So there's definitely a compromise approach around those issues. I think there was a lot of comment around the nonprofits that they're really not set up to have billing systems, and some of them really aren't even billing for rates per se. They're more like
it's a fee a month.
It's more like a condo association, or almost. And some of it's for cat. And so that
we
they
need
work.
A new pump, so everybody pitches in.
Yeah, no,
but they also, some of them bill for not only just water, but they also for, the common, maintaining the common area and expenses of that. It's all one bill.
So they don't even have the infrastructure to really track it. And then, whereas a for-profit would be more likely to do that. I think I felt personally, I'll just speak for myself, is you're balancing the fairness issue about making sure that this isn't, you're balancing a bunch of issues. You're balancing fairness. You're balancing, if we're going to find a two-person for-profit, how much money do we really get out of that versus the overhead? And then also diversification of revenue sources so that it's not all...
I was thinking more of that. The size criteria than the status criteria, but I get it. But so many of these nonprofits, they don't meter water, right? So you do have that conservation signal, but
that all changes 2017.
Depends on the size. Everything over 15 connections
has to meter.
Has to be metered. next year. In 17.
Okay.
So that might be procrastinate for at least an hour.
Over 15, yeah, regardless.
Yeah. Why it's closed, huh? Yes.
That's what it just got. Yeah, that was that. It's Nixall, right?
Why it just got closed?
Closed for an hour. Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, there was another way. There is another route.
Yeah, well, so will so everybody else.
Jim and I.
Hmm. Oh, Roger was in there too.
This is the first day I'm driving, and I don't tell the police. My right leg here is.
Well, we'll have more.
I'm breaking with my left foot. You're going to have to go on the
one of the
just don't have a wreck on the alternate route. Cause that
was one of the controversial issues is bring up the police.
All kind of fire on the Bainbridge Islanders.
Then.
Two more personnel.
I was sort of a late, mid-stage change, I would say, two more personnel.
But you're not even filling the positions you've got available.
The chief reported that he felt like he could fill them.
Did he?
Yeah, and he felt like that they've done, and we have passed an incentive program. I think it's a $2,500 signing bonus that you've got a refund if you leave within 3 years. Or $2,500, I think. It might have been $5,000. But anyway, so he feels like
that makes a big difference. I'm surprised, but
really, because I would think anybody who's willing to take the job for a $2,500 bonus,
I think it's fine. Might not want to. It sounds like a lot for a
really it's cash in hand. It's a real deal.
Yeah.
And the chief said it's consistent with the market. Anyway, it's not a utility.
This may be going afield a bit, but I think the chief said in the past that about 1/3 of the police employees live on the island. Did that come up?
Did it come up?
Because that's highly desirable.
It did come up. No, it did not come up in public session. And they also, we did the police contract with the union. So there's some, but I don't think we have an incentive, for a residency incentive. We talked about, no, it's you have to live within an hour. Is the requirement in the contract? So you have to live within an hour, and that's consistent with the market. It's where some places might be 30 minutes, but that's the first time that's been instituted into our plan.
You know, the more things change, the more they remain the same. Is the comment I can tell you? When I was very first in city council, when I was his age, in the early 1990s, that's the very first thing that I got involved in. We had a special committee working with the police chiefs to figure out how we could compensate police officers so they could live on the island.
Yeah.
So that was 25 years ago.
And we just went through the housing element. And it was the most affordable housing.
That's the Fort Worth thing, too.
It's kind of hard, yeah.
It's an issue in the Northwest. I don't know if anyone's noticed.
Yeah.
As the only non-landowner on city council.
So what else about the utilities in the budget? What else?
Anything else? Increase. And stormwater.
Yeah, stormwater rates.
But the stormwater rates were approved.
Right. Well, and the increase was how much?
One year.
We did.
Yeah, it's the numbers that have projected it, but we passed 1 year, but the budget has to. No, it's just the 1 year.
And did you get your study done in there, huh, or not?
It's a real placeholder at this point. I think it's.
So it's $50,000. Placeholder for a
CBD.
Study the swim system.
Not the swim system, but the swim efficiency of the utility.
Okay, thank you.
Not the physical.
It's more the
operational efficiency.
Right.
And the way my recollection was that was presented to staff was that Barry and Alan and Doug would sort of sit down and
figure it out,
and I think there's a role. I might have said this last time we met too. Yeah. I think there's a role for this committee to engage in that as a watchdog.
Okay. Anything else on the utility you might know about? By the way, just to close that, Steve, finish your point about the water utility and where the tax is applied to. Remember, this is a tax on an operation of a business. Okay? That's legally what it is. It's a business tax.
Okay.
And arguably a nonprofit could say we're not a business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's another reason for the distinction particularly when those nonprofits sometimes raise money for other things.
So what percentage of households on Bainbridge Island are now subject to the water utility tax?
I think the number I remember seeing was 70%.
70%?
But that might have been when it was just class, might have been a different iteration. I think
it's kind of pretty high.
It's pretty high, I think, but
most of the high density areas are all kinds.
Yeah, I bet, you know, I think I like us keeping a little bit of an eye on this equity issue because start thinking about it, the apartments and condos are all paying it, and the remote houses with the big lots, maybe not. So, so it's just another thing. But we're done for this
year. We're done for that. Okay. Anybody else on budget? All right. Comp plan update. So, last time we worked through some things, and I tried to capture what everybody said. Obviously, we're not talking major redo here. Attached to, Barry made a copy of this, of what I sent out. Unfortunately, it's not in color, so you have to hunt, if we want to, hunt a little bit to get what the changes were. But that's what, I sent that out to everybody on the 13th. And then we went through a bunch of them, and Nancy has hers to talk about, and I asked Steve to take a look at the swimming utility and see if there are any changes there. So I think the best way to deal with this and sort of move it on quickly is to take the latest from the Planning Commission that we went over last time, which is the one dated
10/13.
And what we were comparing was what was done, the Planning Commission's on 10/13, but ours on May 16th. That's what we were comparing.
Can you get an extra copy of that? I may have used them earlier.
10/13.
No.
Here's what I got. Here's the funny print.
I thought we were going to change this to
10. I used the last one from us, which is...
Yeah, we're going to talk about
that. Is that the 8.5? Right. I looked at the 8.5 with the 5.16. They seem to be pretty similar, right?
They are.
Yeah.
They are.
So 8.5 would be the same as...
But... Okay. But anyway, so let's just go quickly through the changes we identified last time, make sure we're okay with that, and then we'll move on to what Nancy and Steve have, okay? The ones that I listed going through them, we changed the first couple words simply to put it in better, make it make sense, because they, with their changes, didn't make sense. And actually, most all of them were that way. I don't know if everybody wants to go through them. They're, in a sense, they're sort of minor. So, does everybody want to walk through them? What's everybody's thinking?
I think we massaged those in there.
Hmm?
I think we pretty well massaged those.
Right. There's just one change that I thought we were making that isn't in it.
Right, and that's the question of the sewer.
At the beginning, the first line.
Right, let me go to that. And, right.
We were going to change it from systems to utilities.
Yeah, and I actually thought about that, and neither is correct. Neither is right. There are actually two systems. They are operated by two independent utilities. That's what it is. So, thus, I just left it at systems.
But we refer to the two systems run by COBI as...
No, there's one system.
South End System.
The
Winslow area is fully owned and operated by COBI, and the South End System is the area of lines owned and operated by COBI but treated by Kitsap County Sewer District Number 7.
Right, but that's...
And then there is
And then there's the one
over there. Sewer District Number 7.
Right, and so the question, the reason, the way this is written, it says one, so it's here, two or two systems. One system is owned by the city and Bainbridge, and it serves Winslow and Rockaway Beach, Pleasant Beach, and Linwood, unless we're considering...
But then it says it's referred to as the south end.
That's really the utility, because those systems aren't connected to Winslow, Rockaway.
Okay, all right.
And so that's why it's, it refers to the south end system.
Yeah,
as being that connection aligns. So if we change utilities in the first sentence, it kind of covers all of them.
All right. So if we should say there are two public utilities, one utility is owned by the city of Bainbridge Island. It serves Winslow and the Rockaway Beach area and Linwood and so on. Even though those are two separate systems, that is run by one utility.
Right.
And the other utilities, okay, gotcha. All right, well, I'll do that then. Okay. All right, that's the, we'll add that.
So it looks like this element is going to be discussed by council probably next week.
Right. That's okay. Why I hope to do this. We're done today, and I'm going to send an email to the council and the planning commission after we're done here. So you guys have that. This is, again, I don't think anything major here, but we might as well clean it up on the clean show. Okay, anything else on the sheet we did last time? All right, thank you, Emily. Guys, all right, now we're going to go to, we'll go with Nancy, because she sent us some stuff already.
Okay. So the first one is solid waste. And what I did is I looked at the, not only the 516, but I also looked at my notes on the, what was that, the 85. Because I know we discussed a lot of these little changes that were already there in solid waste and telecommunication at that time. And so what I just said is we discussed all of these things
right.
on 8.5, and we had, there were changes, like they added the words recycling and composting to the heading, and we had no objection to it.
Right.
We had a little note saying no objection. They got rid of the words residents and businesses, and again, I don't recall us having any objection to that. Like, we worked that out and thought, well, that doesn't really change the meaning of much. All the policy statements eliminated the language of the city shall. And we had no concern about that, except in 15.2, we started to discuss where the obligation to do outreach programs was taken away from the city and just reduced to the needs of the city to support non-governmental organizations. However, then we noted that 15.4 had been added. That's not something I put in or we put in. And it kind of puts that obligation back on the city by saying that we coordinate with Bainbridge Disposal and County to improve access to updated information. So I assume they mean the city is doing that at this point. So when they say who's coordinating.
Yeah, presumably.
It means the city. So again, I think after we discussed that at some length at the time, we decided, well, that pretty much covers our concerns. And we were thinking even of researching, did the city have an obligation to do this legally? There it is there. So that kind of meant we didn't have to research that. And then on U15, they added some specifics about how to reduce the amounts of solid waste disposed by giving examples like material bans, composting, or compaction, or by the conversion of solid waste to energy, e.g. using a biodigester. We did not add that. They added that, and it's just more specific means of doing that. And then we discussed, does that mean that it's the only thing when you make a list? And I don't really think it's a big issue. It's just suggestions for how that could be accomplished, and I don't think it's meant when they say consider methods, they're just giving examples of methods. They're not saying you couldn't use other methods. That's the way I legally read that. So because they said consider methods. So I think nobody on the committee at the time had any objection to that either.
Okay.
Now, telecommunication.
So before we leave that, anybody got any comments on that? Or?
I'll say that I talked to Jeff Waite last night about the his biodigester, and he says he's pretty psyched about it. It hasn't really kicked up yet, but he's got to get the microbes woken up and that kind of stuff. He was definitely geeking out on it. He was at that. And I was like, yeah, well, do you think there's proof of concept on the bigger scale? Put something that. Done? Oh, absolutely, it's true. So
I'm just thinking about the worms we had in our backyard that ate through the rope that makes worms everywhere.
So one bar on Earth is all in. And
is this putting food scraps in there?
Yeah.
Have you been by there?
No, I've heard about it.
Yes.
Huge, right next to the front door, and it's like it looks like a shipping container.
But they made it attractive.
Doesn't smell.
But it's not going to be there for very long.
It looks like construction work, though.
It looks like a construction work. And it's just, it's going to be a small unit. But I think it's mostly a proof of concept thing. Which is...
It's not there to stay.
What's that?
It's not there to stay.
I didn't know it was going to move.
No, it's not going to stay. It's not
going to move. And Roger, do you know what the incentive payments were from PSU?
I don't. I know. I talked to Brian about it, and he said, that his view was that the PSU had suggested it, and Jeff said, if you do it through a private, we can get a prototype going much faster than if you involve the public process and just do it.
PSC gave him some money.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I don't know
what that amount was.
No.
Okay. Yes, sir. Before we leave.
The first prototype is at Island Wood, and that's been in operation for about a year.
Oh, is that? I didn't know that.
Well. And you can go down and turn it if you want to.
Do these things make energy?
No, it's just compost.
So it's PSC's involved.
Well, this one is a. Is this not the bio that if you're at
Bob?
Yeah.
It's going to make electricity, right?
Yeah.
That one will make electricity.
So it's got some way in that trailer to burn methane gas and put it through a turbine and make generation of electricity?
Well, I don't know.
That's
I'm
hard to
put you on the spot.
I don't have a wall of it. That's
I'm surprised.
If you want to see a big one, go to Kitsap County Waste Treatment Plant, because they do convert energy, and they got almost enough to run the plant down there. So, and it's pretty amazing to tour it.
Well, maybe we ought to tour it.
Making energy to run the pump?
No.
Let's tour it and stop that beer.
But that's the plan.
All right, we're going to move on here. We're not going to sign this thing here. Okay, we're done with solid waste. Okay. Telecommunications.
Okay, telecommunications. Let's see. They added the word text in the first line, and again, we were like, okay, that sounds good. And again, they removed the city shall language at the start of the policy sections, but we could see that still worked well as a sentence. And then U16.3.4.5 and 6 had slight language changes. Maybe they just thought it sounded cleaner. But I and the rest of the group, I believe, did not feel that it materially affected the meaning. So we didn't have any objection to the language or syntax changes there either. The only
you
thing
found
that
comma.
We
have
is
all
a
right.
comma, and I think we've mentioned it a few times. So I don't know if you want to add that, Andy. That may never happen, but
I want Roger to go to the meeting and say, "You need a comma." See, that way they'll know that you've been reading this.
Well, what's interesting is as we go through them, it's the sort of the nuanced language. Let's change that from passive voice to
exactly.
active voice. Those start to fade out.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. Speaking as a former English teacher, I think sometimes people get a little carried away with making it sound better. It's my language, I think that's important not to do in groups.
So how do we know whether these service providers are meeting the community's need? What's the feedback? I mean, if it takes CenturyLink 3 weeks to come out and fix a dead phone line. And that's pretty typical. I mean, how does that ever get back to the city that CenturyLink's not doing the job. I'm just curious what kind of mechanism we have.
We have no mechanism.
Yeah.
So to who do you complain to?
Right. It says, you know, you say ensure all these are good, reliable, but we have no way of knowing any of this stuff.
This is a classic. Yes. There's no one in the city staff that's responsible for utilities. So your question, who do you complain to? You talk to Barry, he's not responsible for these guys. No. You talk to Ellen, she's not responsible.
Utilities and transportation.
Police chief's not, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
you go
to Olympia.
Yeah, right. but we're
asking the city to do it.
Yeah, but what I think it speaks to is like an ombudsman for the city.
In utilities.
Well, not just utilities, but for all things. And I think there's no good feedback mechanism other than going to a council meeting and spending your 3 minutes standing up there complaining to council, which...
Well, and then what's council going to do?
Yeah, it's not real productive.
So are you suggesting hiring someone?
This is what I think we ought to do, is I think we ought to have an annual or something review process of these franchised utilities.
Well, this side right here.
If there's no institutional history, then, I mean, well, there's no record of it. Even if people go in and complain at city council, there's no, oh, look, we had 42 complaints this year, right? Mm-hmm. So
well,
there
is, that's interesting.
Overview.
I mean,
WTC would keep track, but.
Yeah,
but we don't. Yeah. And we're asking the city to do that.
Yeah, the AG's office might get complaints, too. I mean, there might be lots of different.
But it gets.
I will say, I mean, one thing, we just went to the transportation element, and there are definitely some things in there saying, you know, ensure that Kitsap Transit uses, you know, blind blah, blah, you know, however you finish that sentence. And, you know, I went through and tried to change a few of those to be, you know, encourage or something, because obviously there's only so much we can do. I think Doug does engage in the franchise agreements. We have people that we have hired consultants to renegotiate the franchise agreements. Although I can't remember which utilities we were talking about.
It was Comcast, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Comcast one, and we hired a consultant for that.
Well, look, you guys.
And I think the times that come around would be the franchise renewals, except that we have bargaining power or an audience.
The difficulty with that is some of these franchises are 30 year and so on.
And what are you going to say?
What's
your bargaining position?
If I may, I give you an example might be proper for us to in some way engage in, and I'll apologize because this example looked like, you know, what you've heard from me too much. Storm outages. Now, what could be more important consumer interest on Bainbridge in terms of performance of a utility than its outage rate, you know, the length and number? So, done a lot of work on this and just sent today to the city manager a report we did based on. So Puget Sound Energy makes an annual report county by county to the WTC, which it requires, of its outage rates using standard SAIDI and SAIFI, the international standards. And you know, when you go to the WTC to get that report, first you won't find it on PSE's website. It's not on the WTC website. You have to have a public records request to get it from a state agency. Okay. And maybe for a good reason. Because the data, well, we got bar charts and stuff in there, somebody else did. Of eight counties, PSE serves, Kitsap County is the worst. Their record in the last 3 years has deteriorated. This is number of outages and length of outages. And then comparative data, the public power system like Snohomish PD, so I got theirs, has pretty much the same format, SAIDI safety. It's on their website, you know. And so I'm saying, and I could go on with how what a lousy record they've got, but shouldn't we go back to telecommunications, have a process where, you know, how bad is their job, and, you know, and maybe get some pressure on them in terms of how they serve this community.
But let me follow that.
Yeah.
That's the policy you're looking at, U 16.9. We wrote it.
Periodic reviews.
It's here because we submitted it. It wasn't in anything before. This is new. Mm-hmm. And when we talked about it, we talked about should we put some time frame, annual or whatever,
yep.
And we came up with
periodic
just because who are we to say?
We couldn't agree on it. Yeah. We didn't want to make the city, again, there's money involved in doing a periodic
Nancy's
review.
Exactly.
And there's suits involved if you don't do the periodic review. So if we put a time limit on it, you're just setting yourself up for trouble if you don't actually have the money to do it.
Right.
So that was the compromise.
And presumably, if the city had a periodic review, it said, we're now going to review CenturyLink and give us public comment.
Mm-hmm.
People could come or they could watch a football game. And if they got enough people coming and complaining, then it was, geez, we really got something here. If nobody shows up, then, I don't know. So that's what we got. Now, we can make changes to this or suggest changes, but we massaged this.
And also, it's
you
starting
can even
with
say
what
periodic
Jeff
at
said,
least annual or something.
If you want somebody, you want an ombudsman, that costs money.
Right.
Yeah, so we still have the FT issue. Do we add an FT to make sure that we're ensuring all of these utilities are being regulated by us? That's not really our purview, is
correct.
It?
Well, but it's an issue. I mean, they just went through the budget and got convinced by the police department they needed two more officers. Somebody's got to go to the council and convince them they need to pay for an ombudsman / utility.
That could be us.
Whatever.
We could make a suggestion.
I mean, that's 2 years from now when they're doing a new budget.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So, you started this, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
I see it going beyond just the utilities. I think in all interactions between the citizens of the island and the city, there ought to be a feedback mechanism. I mean council... You know, staff makes recommendations on regulations. Council enacts them, and then how does council ever know how well they're doing? Are these good regulations? Does staff know what the hell they mean? Can staff interpret them? How much? There's never any loop coming back other than the one-on-ones. I'm sure council gets lots of in emails complaining about this and that. But if there was really this person who was the complaint department, quote-unquote, and all this stuff filtered through, then he could begin to see, oh, God, yeah, I get a lot of complaints about this, I get a lot of complaints about that, and then get something done about it. But right now, those complaints don't end up anywhere, and nobody really knows what's working and what's not working.
They end up in the paper.
And I think they're...
It adds to the perception that there's not a lot of management, I think.
Well... You know, if the frustration is, since you're the customer and you can't go anywhere else, I mean, that's usually the number one sign is business is dropping off, so we know we've got a problem. But, you know, the permit counter isn't going to change. People aren't going to not come to the permit counter because it's taking forever to get a permit. But if they're, you know, kind of a bad experience, I don't know where they go.
I hear two ideas here, Jeff, that... The one is the ombudsman idea, which exists in government, the Scandinavian thing, but the city council, city officials are supposed to function thank God we have 3 minutes where you can go on any topic periodically and address council and seek grievance or what if what's missing in that section in telecommunication and electrical, is the periodic reviews are by the staff. You know, if they happen or not happen or whatever, but that there be, say, for telecommunications, an annual, and I bet you CenturyLink and Comcast would be there, opportunity for the public to express itself on the quality of their service.
The real question becomes when this gets adopted, assuming it's there, is there going to be any budget to support doing this review?
Mm-hmm. At least it puts a little pressure on the utilities themselves, like Puget Sound Energy.
Well, they did. They funded a study, and we're going to see. And I think we're finding that the company is paying attention to that. you know, and one thing we'll get out of that, I think, is already have improved attention and service on the island.
I appreciate your point, but it goes way beyond utilities. Yeah. I'm not sure we need to address it in the middle of the telecommunications.
Right. I'm just saying, you know, to have a review without having any metrics to be measuring what's happening during the period makes it very hard to come to this point in time and say, okay, we need out the review CenturyLink. Well, I don't know. How's your dial tone? And people can come and complain, but I have a couple comments about that. One, you know, that happened 6 months ago, and I'm just too tired. It's Tuesday night. I don't want to go down and do my complaint. And second of all, when people do complain, well, you feel like there's this little minority that does all the complaining. And so you don't really know whether how wide that feeling is. The sense is you got a couple people who complain about everything, and you kind of wonder, are they really speaking for the majority, or are they just a little squeaky?
Well, what we're about is a condition of the franchise. We require the telecommunications providers to provide us. This is what happens at the UTC level, but it's like, when you have let's talk about telecommunications, you know, service interruption, complaints, and so on. Those are collected for, I think at the WTC, they are for the electric utilities. The problem is, they don't tell us much when they're aggregate to their systems. And could we, on the island, as a condition of the franchise,
Just get response time.
So, Barry, do you, from your experience, are there any smaller cities conducting these kinds of reviews, or do they just leave it to the UTC?
Yeah, I don't think they do it. Nobody has the staff to do that, to review an electrical utility or even, or certainly phone company. Nobody. Spends any time talking about the phone company. It's like, why do we still have phones? I think. But so no, they don't do that.
So if we're going to get this in here, this concept, then in a way, in the future, we've got to propose some budget to be used for this kind of review.
Or the periodic review could be once every millennium.
No, well, it could be one. You could sit here and say, set up a program once every year. You do one, you know.
Yeah.
And so over the 10-year period, you're going to get all of them. Or something.
Well, you could at least ask the utilities themselves to provide you data.
You could. That's a sort of proactive way to do it. It's just city sends a survey out to the utilities. But that's, to me, that's designing and implementation of this. The council hasn't adopted this yet.
Kits up PDA has done customer satisfaction services on satisfaction surveys on telecommunications, broadband, the service they provide, service others provide, and so on. And so that's a good thing. You know, that would be a source of information about satisfaction and unhappiness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, have you guys ever done a survey to your water and sewer customers?
My customer satisfaction?
Yeah.
I
don't ever remember hearing one. I don't remember hearing that happen. Might be interesting.
There have been stuff around the permitting department. I know there's been some before my time, I think.
Like scientific polling kind of thing, or
I don't know. I just know that there's been some
survey.
Well, city's done its surveys.
Yeah, maybe there's a general card or something.
One of the surveys is the whole comprehensive planning process that you've just been going through last year. You have all these public meetings. What are the problems on the island? What are the complaints? That's essentially an unscientific method to get input. Anyhow, we're sort of going around and around on this. Do we want to leave this alone?
I'll just add one more thing. Now that we have taken on, essentially, this committee looking at these franchise providers, guess who maybe should be?
Well, Jim, we're going to be talking to him about future issues. So let's put that as a potential thing to talk about.
Whatever mechanism.
It's implementation of this.
Jeff has raised it, absolutely. I mean, why put it in there if there's no enforcement mechanism?
So you have a volunteer force, at least.
Well, we've been looking for things to do.
I'm with it.
Well, we'll ask the council.
But not tonight.
All right, we're going to move on to We're going to talk about SWIM. Steve took a look at the other
hoop. Well, what I did and just did is compared what the city had done with what we had done.
Correct.
As well as what the Planning Commission had done. And so the cities, I think, without a single word change that I could find, but that may be in there, had version was the same as came out of the Planning Commission. So I could go through the differences between what that city's document does and what I think was our last document that we submitted. And overall, there were some grammatical changes and so on. But in about three cases, permissive language that said things like whenever feasible, should be encouraged, and so on, the city tightened those up and made them directive. So would you like me to go through those?
Might as well. Let's
okay.
Quickly, yeah.
So let's, on the cities, the other ones are just grammatical changes. On U 13.3, our version had said, wherever feasible, the city should utilize low-impact development standards. The version we've got now says, use low-impact development standards. So I don't know if we talked that over at that time, but it looks to me like ours were a little bit maybe excessively permissive. Mm-hmm. And then, again, on...
Before you leave that, though,
okay.
Tell us about the LIDs. Is that something we even care about? I mean, that's moving forward anyhow, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, so that one's... The code is already going to be adopted.
So we might as well just... Theirs is probably... Yeah. Just use the low-impact development standards is probably...
Yeah, so the code has been written to
okay.
require.
So, that's
so we
it.
Don't need to have that
we
whenever
okay.
feasible.
Remember, okay. Then... 13.4, ours said stormwater systems should be encouraged to, kind of that permissive language, provide for removal of pollutants and sediment. And the city version says design, construct stormwater systems that provide for removal of pollutants and sediment through biofiltration or other means.
Mm-hmm.
So it's directive. Then... 13.5, it's okay, it's just make some grammatical changes there.
So before we leave 13.4, is that a problem that we're essentially telling people they are to remove pollutants through biofiltration? That's the way this is now.
That is what's going to be required. If you have a pollution-generating surface, then you have to treat the water. That's part of the new LID standards.
But it's treating with biofiltration.
It's
specifying the means, and is that...
I don't know why, you know, biofiltration is one way, but there's other mechanical means,
then
regular filtration.
Then
know,
maybe that language shouldn't be just one technology.
Well, it says other means, so I figure that's the out. You know.
Or other means. Yeah.
And you don't need the where appropriate and feasible.
Well, I guess that was taken out.
That was taken out.
Yes, it's not in here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was taken out.
You don't need it.
All right, yeah, there is a weaseled out with or other means.
But, yeah, pollution-generating surfaces require treatment. That's what's required.
All right, sounds like we like that.
On 13.5, natural vegetation, what does natural vegetation mean? Does it mean native?
No, that was a
pre-existing.
Not unnatural.
Not banana trees.
Well, why can't you use any vegetation that sucks up water? Why does it have to be salal? I mean, what's
you don't like salal?
No, actually, salal in the right place is just is great. Yeah. But I just this whole business about every time I see the word native vegetation, it's like, well, why?
So is that native or natural?
Well, that's
natural.
But I don't know what natural even means. Does natural mean native?
No, I don't think it does.
I bet it just means pre-existing.
Yeah.
Is that what it means? So you have to. So you can't replace it with something that takes up more water than what already exists.
Encouraged, it's like by retaining. So yeah, basically that's the LID concept again. Don't remove what was naturally there if you don't have to. Keep the natural vegetation in place. As much
which,
as possible.
Right, but the natural vegetation is kind of
pre-existing.
What was in nature, yeah.
Right, but the pre-existing vegetation may not take up near as much water as what you want to, however you would landscape it. I mean, most people landscape much more intensively than Mother Nature does. So I just don't quite understand. It's like somebody's got an agenda here. They don't like landscaping.
No, but didn't the city, I mean, at some point the city said that they were going to maintain natural country roads and natural this, and wasn't that an overarching thing, that we were going to maintain our rural nature, and so maybe that not over... I'm just guessing, you know, there was a push for
this
that,
is a
right?
Current. This is a current policy. This is not a new policy.
But it might be coming out of that,
right?
But
I'm not
fighting.
I'm
living alone. So on... keep on going, your game.
On 13.6, our language had said industrial, commercial, and agricultural land uses should be encouraged to manage surface water in a manner that prevents pollutants from entering ground or surface waters. It seems to me, did we discuss at the time that sounded pretty wimpy and permissive, that industrial, commercial, and agricultural land uses should be encouraged to? But in any case, the city and planning commission versions
It's
tougher to manage surface water in a manner that prevents pollutants from industrial, commercial, and agricultural land uses from entering ground and surface water.
It's a goal, basically.
All right, so we're going along with them, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's it, other than these places where they took out the city should and so on. And
yeah, well, they did that all the way through.
Yeah.
All right, so it doesn't look like we're changing anything. Okay.
If we
take natural drainage systems. All right. So here's what's going to happen now. I'm going to take the email I sent out the other day, and I'm going to add this change of the utilities, and I'm going to add a comma. Nancy's comma. I'm going to send it to the council, okay?
Good luck with that.
Is that all right? I won't. I think I'll just do it. And leave that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything else with our list? So. It's on the agenda for the meeting next week?
Next week, yeah. I mean, they intend to get to it. I think they will. They're almost done with transportation. Capital facilities is minor, I think.
And then what's next?
Then it's utilities and something else.
Cultural element.
Yeah. But I think utilities is like right next in the queue right up the top. Hopefully.
Do you want us to come to the meeting or somebody?
Unfortunately, I won't be at that next meeting. So I think that in fact, we get to it. We don't get as far, we don't get as far as we
well, there's a lot of other things in front of it last week, but this week I don't think there's as many things.
Well, last night we just...
Yeah, well, yeah, that was all we had, but it's still 3 hours.
Yeah.
So it's Tuesday? It's next Tuesday?
Yeah.
And is it all spent figuring out whether you use or utilize?
Whether use guys are going to utilize? let me look, because I know we were doing it in order. Whether it's first, because if it's not first...
No, it's at the end of... Well, you mean first in the comp plan items.
We're going in the order that they're listed, I just was on this, so I'll be able to find it.
So the question is whether we or any of us, one of us, more of us, should show up to be
It'll be capital... The only thing that will be left, there's a little bit of transportation element, which will... And then the capital facilities element. And then it would be utilities element. So it probably is a good time for a comment.
All right.
And I would submit it, as a plan, and then it'll get into the packet.
So is there a public comment period for this, as well as the council discussing it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then we can go and say, we sent some niggly stuff in, but all in all, we're in favor of this.
Yeah.
Go for it.
And we're here to answer questions. That's really all there is to happen. All right. I'll try to do that if I can, or if I can't, I'll email you around and see if we can go.
Can you say again, Roger, when, which meeting that is?
I don't know. The agenda is in front of me, but I think it's the next Tuesday meeting.
December 6th.
Yeah. December 6th. No, I left it in my office. So I'm not sure how busy that is.
There's a few things. There's a transportation plan on the
transportation plan, and then there's the sort of Winslow down.
Downtown Winslow. Yeah.
That'll take some time.
Winslow.
So it sounds like it'll be later in the meeting.
Yeah, it's the last thing because that's what they've been trying to do. That way they can take as much time as they feel like at the end.
Without bothering. Yeah. Well, that actually will work. I have a meeting across the street from 7 till 9 next Tuesday, so I could just walk over afterwards and see if you guys are still going.
I'm sure it'll be after 8, probably closer to 9.
Okay, are we done with the comp plan? Are you guys going to pass this in January? What do you think?
If you'd asked me a month ago, I'd have said no way, and then we added yesterday was an added day, and I think we're getting faster at it, but it's definitely slow going. So I think it's probably a little ambitious.
Okay.
So still remains the goal.
All right, so let's move on to what's the future like. Now, I don't know, this is my job to decide. It's really up to the council's job. So future issues for us, and I've written down several that have been suggested, although Jim just suggested another one. So what has come up with, at the last meeting, you had suggested maybe we'd have some role in this plan 2017 SWIM study, but that's not till later in the year, so that's not something right away. We also talked about, it had been suggested that we would be involved in some manner with construction of the transmission intertie between the substations.
What role would we have in that?
Evaluating and potentially encouraging
the water systems to consolidate.
No. The PSE's substations, Winslow and Burton Cove substation. Remember the issue that we went around and around and around on, which is
115 kV
in the plan, or no? We said no. We want to improve reliability, and so one of the ways to improve reliability is have that transmission connection. And it has been suggested that if maybe we should get involved in trying to encourage that, to encourage reliability to be improved, and that would involve clearly the question of connecting those transmissions.
I think the thing there would be, so this is one measure to improve reliability, which I happen to think probably makes sense, but we don't know. You know, it seems to me if we're going to get into any aspect of reliability and advocate one solution or not, let's say we dig into that and decide, yeah, we're going to support this, go to the council and whatever community resistance might exist to it or something, say, you know, well, the UAC thought it was a good thing. But it seems to me that and one thing that caused concern some years ago and two was, what are the alternatives and how does that fit with in our reliability plan? So most utilities have a reliability plan, and they prioritize the things they'll do undergrounding. So do you want to get into that?
I'm not suggesting that we are an advocate of this connection. It's just advocating increased reliability, and this is PSE's guy who comes all the time and says, we'd like to do this. No, it's just a question.
Well, I think the way that it play out kind of is I think we might decide that, yeah, we'd endorse it. But is it, how useful is that to the community and the city council versus if this committee said, we're going to look at reliability overall, and what the real investment ought to be in undergrounding or island-based crews? Or if we said to PSE, we want you to base a crew here on the island so that you have, and, you know, I just sent it in. Instead of being 2 hours to restore a minor outage, it'd be 33 minutes. And so anyway, that may be in, you know, a place nobody wants to go either, you know, but, and I can understand that, but.
I only list this because one of the council members, in response to my question to them, was, gee, you ought to help deal with electric reliability. Thank you.
Well, in particular, the language in policy U14.3 that was put in by the Planning Commission, particular attention to adding transmission redundancy. Right.
Yeah, and I had some objection to that because I was involved in some of the community objection to that a number of years ago. And the answer I got from PSC is that they've never had a loss of reliability due to the not having the redundancy. The only reliability issues there have ever been are trees hitting the lines.
Wait a minute.
I don't know if it was 99.9 or whatever, but that's what PSC told me.
Our two neighborhoods just lost power for 23 hours after an equipment failure that was unspecified.
Right.
In no storm.
Yeah, I know. But that could be a tree down.
It wasn't.
Who knows?
There was no tree down.
But it's not because they didn't have a redundant line. And that's, and I don't know if Roger maybe was involved with that too, pushed and pushed and pushed on that question. There has never been a loss of electricity due to failure of a redundant line.
And they, I met with them on this issue of their outages and what the source of the outage is, and they provided some reports about that.
Good.
And that those statistics have changed a bit. Mm-hmm. And so you can hear, I mean, PSE's, and you, I think everyone probably knows what PSE would say is that, okay, well, when a transmission line is down, it's a much more significant problem. You may be masking distribution line problems, or and that they actually have had transmission lines down since then. And when a transmission line goes down, that the time to the scope of the impact, the number of user outages, hours that are out, are much higher than distribution. They definitely are very interested in that redundant, you know, closing the loop.
And at the time, I think they also told me that if they do close the loop and they spend the money on this, they can recoup the money spent on that through raising our rates. Whereas undergrounding or the tree trimming, additional tree trimming, would be much harder to recoup. So I'm not saying it's not a good idea, because I'm not an expert. I'm just listening to this argument years ago. But I think it's a great idea for us to get involved and make them give us better answers to those questions.
Here's the thing that I would be asking about that is this the sort of the outages and so on? So I'll report to you. I talked to Doug Schultz yesterday about this because he said, Doug, I'm sending you some safety data, the PSE's own data, but did you not ask the PSE to provide the similar information feeder by feeder for Bainbridge Island? In other words, Kitsap County reliability is going to be different than Bainbridge Island. I think it's actually worse on Bainbridge, but I don't know. And so he said he met with PSE a week ago, and they said, we're not cooperating in the feasibility study, or we're not providing you with any more. We're just flat not going to do it. It likes Trump tax over. So, but maybe this committee could say, but I don't know how you can engage in a discussion of the value of that intertie without having some data on what its impact would be. And I think back when folks opposed this, I think legitimately they'd say the question, well, you know, are there alternatives, better investments of the money? Mm-hmm. And also, is there some advantage that we don't quite perceive in terms of the company earning a return on investment for certain kind of facilities and not for other measures that they might undertake? So I think it'd be a tremendously interesting and controversial topic. But if they want this committee's support, and I think that's what the end is they want, that opened the whole issue.
I would want more information before I would give them support for that.
So here's the issue is, what issues are we supposed to deal with next year? And these are the four that have been surfaced. Electric reliability, and that's been in the context of the 115 KD line, but it could be anything. If one of the council members said we ought to evaluate the sewer utility. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but that was a suggestion. This is the one we just talked about, the 2017 swim operating expense study, which is, we may have some role in that, but it's really up to the staff to bring that to us if they, whenever they're ready. And then Jim's idea that we take on the concept of coming up with a periodic review of utilities. What would that mean? And so on. So that, you know, right now we have nothing on our agenda. We could go to the city council and say, here's the suggestions we've received. Do you guys want us to do any of this or not? Or should we just stay on vacation? Barry's got other things to do.
Not nearly as fun.
Not nearly.
Barry, do you have something that you think might be a task of value, not just to keep us busy and out of other people's hair or anything like that, but that something that... would be damage to the city, or saw that you, something is done at Oldsmill or something, where some of the other places you worked with?
Nothing that I haven't thought about it a lot, so I don't nothing to top the top of my head.
Can I take yours and leave it with this one for a second? One of the ideas is whether we, or once a year, and there's three utilities, once a year we take a closer look at one of the utilities. I think that's what that idea was. Is maybe, you know, because last year and a half we spent a ton of time going through the swim utility, right, until we were sick and tired of talking about swim. And before that, we'd done the water system plan. Maybe this year we say, okay, let's take a look at the sewer utility. What's going on? You can sort of just say that. This is the year we'll focus on the sewer utility. We don't know. I don't know where they'll go exactly, but that could include looking at operation. Could look at where are you with capital? How's the treatment plant working? What's Linwood Center looking like down there? Is there anything we ought to be doing? What's the relationship with Sewer District 7? I mean, we could do that next year if that was. And then the year after, we'd say, wait, we'll do water that year. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like a logical way to provide some help, but it's only if we're a help. I don't want to. I mean, it's kind of.
And it seems kind of like small potatoes to Andy, to tell you the truth. I mean, I've got a great deal of benefit out of the touring of the sewage treatment plant, and we could have further briefings on, you know, what sewer utility is doing and so on. But is it really a big job there?
Here's my, is it really, again, back to Roger, to you and the counselor, would that be a benefit? And I give you an example. I remember years ago, the board of directors at the school district, they kind of said, this is the year we're looking at the social studies department.
Yep.
And next year, we're looking at the math department. And the year after that, we're looking at foreign language. Kind of like, on a regular basis, we're going to take a review. So we're not going to wait until something goes wrong. We're just going to methodically do that. Now, whether that's a benefit, I don't know.
Sometimes that's a waste of money. In the school district.
Well, you're right. If it's just busy work, you're right. Mm-hmm. And so the question is whether that would be of merit, help to you, whether it would be help to the council, or should we just wait until you guys... and this evaluate sewer utility was a suggestion for one of the council
members. Well, specifically that one. I mean, we just did a sewer comp plan, and we just spent a lot of time on that, too. So
yeah.
It seems like we... Unless things have materially changed because of what's going on in the center and stuff like that, that need to make it to reopen the issue. I kind of feel like we've already gone through that one. And I mean, I think we need to every 2 years take a look just from the terms of we recommend a no rate increase on the sewer utility. So does that still hold? Has there been enough new projects that make that questionable whether those numbers are still going to work? Because we were kind of pushing projects out and hoping for some drop off in debt service so that we would have more money to spend on capital projects down the road. But is public works getting pressured and compression of projects causing that cash flow to no longer work? So.
Here's a big area, very important. Utility service, that's telecommunications. So I can tell you from experience, if you want people, you go down the street and ask people about their electric service, you ask them about cable and so on. I mean, the level of support for something to be done, if it can make sense to this community, to improve and get ahead of where we're going to be with where we are with broadband, high-speed broadband, and so on. Now, it would be a thing where I guess you'd need the council, but it seems to me there's something of real value to the community.
What do we call this? Internet service?
So, review Highland Telecommunications Service.
That includes cellular.
Pardon?
Includes cellular service, right?
Well, maybe, well, it could, but I would suggest we leave cellular out and have it as a separate.
Because cellular should be at the top of the list.
Okay.
Our capability for cellular on this island is terrible compared to a lot of other
internet or cellular phone?
Well, why don't you put them both up there?
Telecom.
Put them up. Telecommunications. But the outcome of that might be including pressuring the company. You know, and also the community's resistance to putting in, you know, this is a two-edged sword. You know, you don't like the service, but you don't want the...
Well, there's things happening, like the parks has just put a whole bunch of locator items in the Grand Forest so that people can be found by the fire department. I mean, we're doing workarounds now because cellular is so bad. And it's tower is right in the middle of the Grand Forest, so obviously there's issues.
Yeah.
Well,
that new system was cheap.
$60.
Yeah, somebody ought to get an award for that.
$60 for what? For the sign?
Just for the stickers and the grid on the.
Jay Abbott.
It's a workaround.
So you call. You just don't have cellular service.
Yes,
okay. I have cell service.
I try not to use my.
What you don't have is a triangulation from a GPS standpoint to provide a location.
All right, so there's a fifth one. I call it the internet cellular phone, which is telecommunications.
We did have some ordinances last year about, you know, it's not like we're, you know, the city doesn't put up cell towers, of course. And we've had, there was some involvement that Lisa Marshall did about changing our ordinances to make it easier for private providers to put up cell towers. In my experience, actually, they put them up off island. You know, they'll go over. You know, a lot of those connections are,
bounce
especially on the
back.
South end, they're going across.
You're getting your signals across the sound.
But forever, it's always going to be a line of sight problem, and it's line of sight technology. And you know, as long as you have trees and the topography we do, it's, you know, you're not going to be able to stay on the phone. Oh.
It's that natural vegetation issue.
I think when the internet and all of that stuff, you'd be surprised how much support you'd find in the community if you did a serious review of improving that service.
I think doing those reviews for these franchise operations is the name of the game, because you do one, all the rest of them are going to know, okay, somebody is now looking at this stuff.
Yeah.
So that's creating a system for periodic review of utilities. That's a general system.
What I'm getting is, create this and use this as the first one.
Yes. That could be 4A. But I really like the reliability of the, I would like to, you know, because maybe it is the right thing to do what PSA is saying. But it seems like it would be nice to have somebody really sit them down and make them explain why.
Well, our internet service crashes all the time, and I just put that because we're at the end of the line.
Accept that, Andy. There are case studies that President, a couple of years ago, Obama went to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and little towns who have an internet. Moses Lake has, you know, Freighter, Washington has the highest speed internet in the United States, and they got service from Grant PUD all around there, and that's one of the reasons the server farms are there and all of that, because that internet service.
They've been planning that for years, though.
Yeah.
And it's extremely stable ground, and they have that huge runway.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, so what do we want to do with
all the cloud stuff?
So what do we
well, I think you need the endorsement of the city council.
Well, we have to ask city council what he wants to do.
Exactly.
I think it's helpful to the city council to you know, give him up when, you know,
what's our
multiple choice.
I would not be the case.
Don't make them think it up.
Here's the thing, too. I don't think we need to go to the city council to evaluate the sewer utility or the SWIM study. I think that's within our existing franchise. Or what do you think, Roger? We have to. I mean, but these other ones are a bigger deal.
But on the sewer, I'm agreeing with Jeff. We spent a bunch of time going through the sewer plan last year.
And I don't. I didn't get the sense, you know, in my discussions that there was a. I mean, I don't think it's universal, but that there was a. There's as much of a desire to do that as some of these other things.
You know, there are issues that have come up in the sewer system. I mean, we have the problem both at Linwood and on New Brooklyn with the SIP systems, but I'm not sure what role we have other than Barry telling us what the problems are and how they're working to solve them. So the, you know, things have been moving on since we did that, but I'm not sure what else we would do.
Well, if it becomes a resource constraint, then it becomes prioritization of what's more important to do, which problem to fix first.
Would we do a review ordinarily in this committee as the budget comes up each year?
But most that's pretty rushed, though. It's kind of just here's the plan and ask a few questions and explain. Yeah. It's not as in depth of which project should we really do. Let's look at. We don't look. They don't spend that much time looking at the projects and trying to figure out which are more important than the other. So, I mean, that would be beneficial. But it all ties to how much where we're going to spend our money. And I think a rate evaluation, even if we don't hire a consultant, but at least look at. Or how are we doing financially, and what do the rates look like, and
one thing we have done in the past, we haven't done it this last year, was to have the staff periodically give us an update on financially how are the utilities going,
right?
So we can be cognizant of that and be mindful when they're talking about rates. Because you are going to have to deal with rates again next year, swim rates, right? Because you just approved it for 1 year and didn't approve for the second year, which means next fall you're going to be having the question, do you increase it again, do you increase it, or do you leave it the same? So we'll have some role in that, presumably. That may be after you've done some study.
I think that's post, I mean, that's post study, but... But now it'll all fall into place. I think one of the things that we need to be aware of, just talking to Gary about, is that after the comprehensive plan is done, there'll be a city council retreat, and then we will have a priority. You know, we'll have work plans, priority lists, and where stuff fits in that.
So there's a lot of action items in the comp plan. So.
Live.
Who's going to take those on? Some of them may come down to the committees to start.
And they're all high priorities.
Yeah.
I would say one other thing on the electrical liability, and then my discussions with the PSE folks have been. I think that's a really big issue, closing that loop and being involved in that. I think this committee would be good for that. They did express some concern about the commingling of Island Power folks and this committee. I don't know if that's needs to be our concern, but my personal view on electrical liability is, no matter whether Island Power is successful or not, that this problem needs to be solved and needs to be addressed under PSE's watch, no matter what, because even in the most aggressive possible scenario of an Island Power program, you know.
I think it's probably needed. I just think how useful it is it for us to if we don't have a comprehensive review of reliability, like we would do with our own utility.
Yeah.
We wouldn't. If Barry came in here and says he wants to put $1 million gizmo on the sewer system, I'd say, wait a minute. You know,
what monies do we stake from us?
Well, no. And how does that fit?
with the overall reliability and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
So if we're going to have him come in, make a presentation, say, yep, this is what we ought to do, everybody's hands, you
and
know.
What PSC will do, and they've said this and it's definitely their plan, is, well, we need to close this loop. We can put it wherever you want. You neighbors go fight among yourselves, but we need to do this. And you pick which one, because there's only, I mean, it's the engineering is the engineer. They own that piece of property that they bought back in, you know, at Finch and the right by the Purple House of Finch and Sportsman's Club.
Mm-hmm.
They still own that, and that's just sitting there. So I'm sure that's in their mind. But that's a process that I think the community should be engaged in, and the PSC should be engaged in, and there should be a back and forth. So this committee makes sense to me. I don't think PSC would be PSC's first choice because of the power thing. But as I said, I think they're independent. And I don't know that
that's yeah, I mean, up till now, we haven't done anything with electricity. I mean, Steve and Ted are involved in that, so it's pretty easy to say we just haven't touched it. If they asked us, Steve and Ted are on the committee, but that doesn't mean that's just a factor to decide.
But I don't want to just study whether or not we should back there, where they're going to put the plant or whatever. I want to study, is this the best use of money for reliability improvement, too, like a more general.
Well, sure.
I would like, and make them answer those questions.
Well, yeah, you have.
You know.
I mean, Steve's in Barry's point, which is what are the alternatives? And
yes.
Is this the one that makes most sense?
If I would love to do that, but I would want to know that as well. And, you know, I want them to explain it to me better than just, you don't understand this highly technical thing and we need this. You know.
Well, their desire to want it is your hook to get more information, I guess.
Exactly.
That's true. If they were asking. All right, so any other subject? So if you want, I can just write an email to the Roger and the council and say, here are the topics that come up. Tell us which ones you want us to work on next year. Give us a work plan. Anything else? I'm not sure I cut you off or not, Barry, to Steve's question about is there anything that we could do to help you?
I think this more information, maybe more discussion and advice on how do we spend our money and, you know, what do we invest in as far as mainly capital, and then, you know, as part of the budget process, but, you know, the adequacy, financial status, and whether we think we need to change anything in that regard as far as, you know, rates or not, or how we invest or not. That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Help with prioritization or advice on how to best spend the money we have.
Across the board?
On the three utilities, you know, water, sewer, and sewer. What should we be, you know, we have a lot of capital requirements. We make a lot of those judgments ourselves, on what's more important, but we could use advice on that, you know, because sometimes mm-hmm. there's, you know, not winners and losers, but we spend money somewhere and we don't spend it somewhere else, and somebody, you know, one part of the island or one problem is perceived to be bigger. Maybe we're not seeing that correctly, or we could help with, you know, we could use some advice on prioritization. What's a bigger problem? What the community thinks is more important?
Well, I think we expect to vary. I mean, we're not going out of business. No. You're going to bring us stuff.
Right.
When you, and that's useful because we can endorse it or whatever. So stuff will come up that regard, as it has.
Yeah, I assume that we are, you know, we meet every, you know, every couple of weeks. We can go to once a month meeting. Some committees only meet quarterly, so it's not like we have to. Let's talk about December. The next meetings are December 9, I think. And something which we certainly wouldn't do. So the question is whether we have the meeting in December or whether we sub. I'll write this up to the council. What do you want to do? And wait to hear from them and
New Year. Schedule our next meeting in January, first meeting time in January, and maybe we'll have heard from them by then, and we can sort of, you know, move along. Meanwhile, I don't know whether Barry or Doug or whatever, you'll begin to make some plans for this swim study or not, maybe not, but since it's got to happen before you do the rate increase in the fall, you're going to have to do something in the first, you know, 8 months.
But probably not December.
Right, probably not December.
One of the things we've talked about in the past that we haven't mentioned is rates, and at the moment, water rates being what they are, it doesn't seem to be much of an issue, but they're probably pretty arbitrary, the whole tier system and how we're assigning them at the moment. And I don't really know if there's anything to investigate on the sewer side as well as to how we calculate those rates and whether we think that's an appropriate methodology across the board. But the subject of rates is certainly the kind of issue that this committee could look into and make recommendations on.
Yeah, and I might follow that is before you got here, Barry, and early on when you came, is the city convened a real rate analysis of the water system with lots of suggestions as to how to change the tiers and change commercial and residential and lots of alternatives. And then UAC really never got into the detail there. But you're correct. And you have a whole question. There's lots of issues there. Which, because the rates finally got reduced, kind of took the pressure off doing it.
Yeah, since you're not a low-cost provider on the island, it's hard to get too excited about what your tier system looks like.
But there's merit to looking at that. Mm-hmm. And so it's probably worthwhile to add here the rate structure for both water and sewer as an issue. Because I think they are. And for my work in the water world, I spend a lot of time in that. I recommend it to the utilities I counsel all the time is every 5-7 years, take another fresh look at it because things will change. And you may want to, you know, it doesn't have to be a $200,000 rate study, but you ought to just say, is this exactly the way we want it?
Yeah, and one thing about rates is they're published, so we can do our own homework on similar human rates.
Okay, I will send everybody right now. Sorry, the stuff I have on electrical reliability, which is three things. One is PSE's submissions to the UTC on reliability, which Dave Johnson provided to me. That's not very specific. There's nothing specific to us in there, so I wouldn't spend a ton of time on that.
It's Kitsap County.
It's Kitsap County.
It's the nearest you get. Yeah.
And then there's a letter from Doug requesting certain data from the PSE, which I could send. I haven't seen a response to that yet. And then there's what PSE provided me in a private meeting about outages. So I'm emailing that to everybody right now.
Cool.
Great.
Sure.
Thank
you.
Great. All right, I will add the rate structure to the list, and some of the council members may remember, I think for years said we put that off. We've got the analysis. Okay, so we'll can keep on our agenda the January meeting, first week in January.
What day is it?
The second Wednesday in January.
What day is it?
You got the 11th? O'clock in?
Yeah. So I think we'll cancel the December meetings and tell them the next meeting is January 11th. I'll ask council if you guys have an opportunity to let us know by then. Maybe not. They may not until they have some other retreat meeting or something to come up with a work plan. Since we're advisory to the council.
Yeah, so that, actually the council retreat and the work plan and the end of January, right? 20-something? I think it is 25th or 6th.
Is it? Okay. So then we may have a short meeting on January 11th. Let's just keep it on our agenda. keep it on the schedule.
Let's put it that way. We'll decide whether we need to.
Okay, anything else, anybody? Okay.
Alrighty. So
Merry Christmas, everyone.